one of the perks to travel is that because there are probably a few less people traveling because of the financial situation, you're going to find there's less tourists out there. It's easier to get the best rooms, the rooms you want, the places you want to see are going to be less crowded. And the trick is to save money on the way, and there are some great tricks you can do. It depends on the kind of trip you're taking. On a shorter trip, they're going to be a little bit different than a longer trip. On a shorter trip, it's your flight and the hotel package that you want to surf around for the web for the best price possible, whereas on a longer trip, you're looking at cutting back on your daily expenses with a few tricks. So just saving on a cappuccino a day and maybe a beer and a museum entry is going to save you $15, $20 a day, and that adds up over a month or two.
And in terms of destinations themselves, are there some less costly ones that you would recommend people consider?
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is the time to consider going to what's called sort of the less developed or undeveloped countries. You could say that Europe is roughly twice the price or more as going to many of these other countries. So you're, depending on where you go, your dollar is going to stretch maybe twice to upwards of three, four times as far. A place like India is going to get you a lot further and the same amount of money as someplace like Japan.
Security. What should people know today?
Today, the thing that people should know is that it's actually very safe to travel. It's not a major security threat to be abroad at this time. And the U.S. State Department has a tendency to err on the side of caution. It's better, to look at the U.K.'s Foreign Office website where they do their travel advisories, because they're more likely to isolate the conflict. And whereas the U.S., for example, might say something like, you know, that India is dangerous, they're going to say, no, it's actually a Kashmir border dispute that's in that region alone and that other parts of the country are actually quite safe. So I think you have to look at where that conflict is. It's like someone saying they're not going to come to America because they heard that Harlem was dangerous after dark. It depends where you go and what time of night. But of course, most of the country is extremely safe most of the time.
So, Doug, those are a few nuts and bolts and the economics of travel. Let's talk a little bit about perhaps the art of travel. Most people who are planning an overseas trip, I guess, get a couple of guidebooks and talk to a couple of friends, map out their sites and destinations, and off they go. Is that the best approach?
That's certainly a good starting point. No doubt. I think a lot of people say that, you know, travel's about meeting the people, but it's hard to meet the people. How do you go out? You can't just stop people on the street and go introduce yourself. And as it turns out, there is an easy trick. It's really rather simple. You just follow your own interest, and it works as like a skeleton key to get you access. I had a friend, for example, come visit me in Stockholm, and the second day he was there, he said, I've got to run off to meet some people. I said, what? Who do you know here? And he plays Ultimate Frisbee, and he checked on the web and found an Ultimate Frisbee club that rehearsed in or that practiced in Stockholm. And he went over there. He contacted them by email. They said, sure, come to the practice. He went to practice with them, and he came back like 6 hours later after practice. They went off to a pub and had a few beers, and he came back with like 10 different email addresses, and now he's got a whole bunch of friends he can be in contact with. And similarly, you know, if you're in a bowling club, look up the bowling club. They have them in China. They have them all over the place. If you're a bird watcher, check out the local bird watching club in the countries that you're planning to visit, and you'll find that you're meeting people in a much more organic way. It's not a forced friendship. It's actually quite cool.
And if I could shift gears one more time, just briefly, as a travel writer, what is your primary objective?
My primary objective as a travel writer is to give an unbiased critique of a place or an opinion or an impression that I have there. So for me, that means not accepting freebies, not accepting discounted tours to places. I feel like I've got this honest agreement with the readers. And what I like to do, and everyone's got their own different take as a travel writer, my thing is to take something that people have often heard about, and there's often a lot of myths and misconceptions that surround that thing, and I try to sort of debunk those. Like I'll do something like test drive Ferraris in Italy or sumo wrestling in Japan, and then explain sort of how it really works and a little bit of the behind the scenes. And that's just how I like to approach it.
Doug, thanks for the insights.
It's a pleasure, it's mine.